everybody, and welcome to the first episode of The Cylinder Rule. I'm Danny Williams. Alongside me is my twin brother, Frank.
What's going on, everybody?
And we are just two guys who love to talk ball, especially Husky ball, as we are two students that go to the university. And we're happy to be here, and we're happy to provide some entertainment for maybe, you know, the 10 of you that are listening right now. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I know you guys are listening. But yeah, hopefully we can get to you guys at least once a week to talk whatever sport is in session for the Huskies. Maybe it's basketball, baseball, football, who knows, other. And we might get into some professional ball as well, but, you know, it just depends on how much time we have and how much is going on in the sports world. So without further ado, Frank, are you ready to get started?
I am.
All right. So right now, the big news surrounding Washington sports is the hiring of new basketball coach Danny Sprinkle.
Dan the Man Sprinkle in Montlake. Are you excited?
I am so excited. Shares my namesake, which is always a good sign. And what else is always a good sign? Throwing out the first pitch at baseball games. The vibes are always so high when new coaches throw out pitches at baseball games. And it's even more impressive when they're good balls. I saw at the Mariners game that, you know, Big Dan, it was a little high in the zone, you know, may have caught in some of the top of the zone, but it wasn't a great pitch, but, you know, happy to have him. And yeah, Frank, can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts?
Yeah, so Dan? I thought when you said what else you're excited about, I was thinking more about the last name Sprinkle. That rocks. Okay, Hopkins, kind of a lame last name. Sprinkle.
Especially in Seattle, the sprinkle, the rain.
Sign me up. No, I think it's a great sign already getting involved a little bit in the community. It's been circulating, and I guess a little well-known. His grandfather attended the university, right? Grandfather? Dad? Dad played football? Dad played football at the University of Washington.
Big Bill.
Bill Sprinkle.
William, if you will.
So he is kind of a legacy. Hopefully he doesn't leave. There's been way too much of that recently. I don't think I can take another.
Yeah, with Dan and leaving, obviously, which we'll get into a little bit later. The big one, Kalen DeBoer, which stung last year, or this year, I should say. Utah State, 28-7, led them to a round one win over TCU. Obviously, did not go as they would have hoped in the second round against Purdue. But, you know, impressive nonetheless in this one season there. And nowadays, with the transfer portal, when coaches up and leave their universities, their players tend to go with them. And some intriguing names have entered the portal from Utah State. Most notably, and one of the most amazing names in college basketball, Great Osabor, the Mountain West Player of the Year from last year, who would be an excellent addition to the Huskies.
Okay, Danny, so I have a question. I was looking at Great's physique on his little ESPN bio. When I was texting you earlier today, you said he was a center, but he's listed at 6'8", 250, which is one hell of a man, if you ask me. Is he a center? Is he someone who can play along Frank Kepnong or Braxton Mia, potentially, if they decide to return? Maybe Wilhelm Breidenbach. Let's hope not. Sorry, Wilhelm. Please no. Where does he slot in? I know the roster is still super up in the air. Corn is obviously gone. Nate Calamese is gone.
We miss you, Corn.
Yeah, come back, Corn. Man, oh man. What position does he play, and do you think he'd be a good fit in Montlake?
I think he's a straight-up center. I really do. He's got some girth. He's got some heft. I won't lie. 6'8", a little on the short end, but he's nimble. I saw a couple of possessions in the tournament he was doing, and you can appreciate this. He was doing a couple between-the-legs dribbles. You know, he was sizing people up.
Whoa.
He was taking Zach Edey off the dribble. He was dashing to the hoop. A little bit of quickness for such a big guy, and I like it. You know, you can tell he's a hardworking guy. Went from Montana State, and he only averaged, in his sophomore year at Montana State, he only averaged 10 points a game, and then comes to the Mountain West, a way tougher league, and then averages close to 18 points, and then wins Conference Player of the Year.
With a name like Great, do you think it bothers him a little bit? So winning Mountain West Player of the Year, it's no easy feat, but would you consider that great? I'm worried that when we get into Big Ten play next year, which is still super weird to say, that if he's just all right, I don't want him to be all right Osabor, you know. I would like him to be great.
Mid Osabor. Above average Osabor.
But it seems like he's been following Sprinkle from Montana State, obviously, to Utah State. So I good players are welcome here. We don't mean to if you're listening to this right now, great. We love you already. If you want to be on the podcast, just let us know. Looking at the other transfers from Utah State, guard Ian Martinez is in the portal. Thoughts?
Sure is. Originally started his career at Utah, spent 2 years at Maryland, last year at Utah State, and now has entered the portal again. So a veteran of the portal. He shot 38% from three last year on four attempts a game. Not bad, not bad at all. Which I would say would be more of an issue in UW years past. But last year, the boys actually shot a solid percentage from three. Most notably, Moses Wood, enter the flood.
Yeah, UW definitely improved three-point shooting last year. You saw it in Anthony, Tony Holland, Moses Wood. Keon Brooks improved his three-point shooting tremendously. I think NBA scouts look at that and saying, man, we could use a player like Brooks. And yeah, obviously, again, the transfer portal just destroys teams. I mean, it's crazy how fast a team loses in the tournament, March Madness, NIT, Pac-12, any conference tournament, and players just hit the portal as hard as they can. A couple other notable names in the portal, Kirk Creasa, former Arizona Wildcat,
and West Virginia Mountaineer,
is don't forget. In the portal. Kirk Creasa, a guy I rooted heavily against 2 years ago when we saw him.
No, most notably had his first name on the back of his jersey.
Kind of rocks. You love seeing like the 8-year-old mentality in a player at this high of a level. It just means he's going to take all the shots.
And he said, I heard on one broadcast, he said that the inspiration for that was that Steve Kerr was his favorite player. Okay, one, no. Two, just say you wanted your first name on the back of your jersey. Yeah. It's okay.
Maybe he didn't know how to spell his last name.
Now, that brings up the question, Great Osabor, would you consider putting Great on the back of his jersey?
That is a jersey I would buy.
Me too.
I would buy one that said Great. Again, hopefully he is, and hopefully he comes here. Okay, another
serviceable Osabor. All right.
Rotational player Osabor. Okay. Another player to enter the transfer portal of note is LeBron James' son, Bronny James.
Well, he hasn't officially entered the portal yet, but there is speculation with USC's head coach jumping ship to SMU. So you might expect a lot more of their players to, you know, hop in the portal. But if he does enter the portal, Frank, does he intrigue you as a player? Unbiased, Frank.
Unbiased.
In a vacuum.
So
in a cylinder, if you will.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and by a lot of time, just this afternoon. If Bronny decides to jump ship, I don't know how much Bronny talk is going to happen on this podcast. Hopefully a lot if he comes to Montlake, right?
Content machine. Bronny, please.
But no, so obviously I would be excited if he entered the portal, just because it'd be funny like seeing LeBron tweet out where his son's going to go and him end up at like UCF or something. And I was under the impression that if Bronny James named someone else, so let's say Nate Calamese, for example,
okay,
he would not be in a Power 5 conference.
Why do you say that, Frank? What are the correlations between Nate Calamese and Bronny?
So what the numbers are telling me, Danny, when I really,
and of course numbers don't lie,
when I dive into the numbers, and that's what I'm known for, diving into the numbers.
Yeah, head first.
And this is not me just reading off of his ESPN bio, this is strictly off the dome. Bronny averaged 4.8 points per game on 26.7% from three. In my little notes here, I wrote, both those, not good.
Yeah, in a vacuum.
In a vacuum, not good.
Not good.
For those of you at home playing this game, is he or is he not better than Nate Calamese, the 10th man in UW's rotation last year? Calamese averaged 4.1 points per game in only 10 minutes a game, and Bronny did it in 20. So if Nate Calamese was Bronny James, that's all I'm saying.
Nate Calamese has some bounce as well.
Those he does. He threw down some nasty dunks in warm-ups, and that's why we go to the games.
Speaking of somebody else who threw nasty dunks in warm-ups, Braxton Mia. Frank, now, let me paint this picture in your head. Wilhelm Breidenbach, yes? Are you following?
Yes, I'm aware, unfortunately. Sorry, Wilhelm, if you want to come on the podcast too, you're welcome to.
Great Osabor, yes?
Great.
Frank Kepnong, Braxton Mia. Mount Rushmore, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Who says no?
I would love to see that lineup. My question is, who is facilitating the offense? Maybe that's Creasa.
Maybe it's Bronny.
Maybe it's Bronny.
So, out of the four bigs, who would play the two? Would Great be the two?
I think so.
He's shifty.
I think
he Wilhelm can shoot, maybe a stretch. He'd be the three. He's also quite the frail individual, so he could be the three. And then would you have Frank at the four and then Braxton at the five?
For the two of you guys listening to this first podcast of the Cylinder Rule, I'm sorry because my brain is jumping all over the place. And Danny, I love this hypothetical you're playing, but I can't help but think back to the Oregon game this past winter. You just said Wilhelm's a great shooter. He might have taken the worst shot I've ever seen, where he airballed both left and short to tie the game. Again, Wilhelm, if you would like to come on the podcast, you're welcome to, but also get off my basketball team, please. I would like to see some new blood.
So the four center lineup is a no for you?
No, it's definitely a yes. I think Hop would have ran it out there. I don't know if Sprinkle's that type of guy. Seems like he knows ball.
Brings up a great segue. Coach Hopkins, gone but not forgotten.
Mm-mm.
Frank, tell me about it.
Well, Hop, apparently you're a great guy. Dan, I know you had the chance to interview him once or twice.
Many a time. Very nice guy. Nice doesn't win you basketball games, though,
Unfortunately, it does not. He was slightly better than 500 in his career at UW over 7 seasons. The boys did make it to one March Madness appearance, which is not that good. He won 2 Pac-12 Coach of the Year awards, which, good for him. Hopefully those are hanging in his office somewhere. No, but it was time, you know, and the fact that you told me he's such a nice guy, it hurts. Hopefully he's on to greener pastures. I hope he keeps coaching. I would love to play him again and run whatever team he is coaching.
Do you think he's an assistant coach purgatory now, or do you think somebody's going to give him a shot?
No, you're right. Assistant coach purgatory is definitely where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Which, he was there for a while at Syracuse, and I think that's his home. I think that's where he's comfortable.
Bring him back. They just got Eddie Lampkin from Colorado today. So congrats.
Syracuse, that is.
Congrats, Syracuse. Ed Lampkin. Another big guy.
Yes, big guy. Great Osmore, Ed Lampkin, DJ Burns.
Thoughts on those guys?
Just big guys.
Big, yeah.
Just name them big guys.
We can name other big guys.
Another segment for another day.
Yeah, we'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Big guys.
But yeah, Hop, had some good moments, had some bad ones. I think that's, you know, the main thing was the inconsistency, where, especially last season with the talent that was on that team, Moses Wood entered the flood. You'd expect to have a better record than 17-14 in the regular season, especially in a Pac-12 that was competitive, but I wouldn't say was that over-the-top good as an overall conference. And, yeah, it's interesting. Like, he'd win you 2 games in a row, and be like, all right, we're back on. We're so back. And then you'd almost blow a 30-point lead to Arizona State and then get absolutely smacked by Arizona the next trip. So I think having that inconsistency was a problem, and, yeah, 4 or 5 years of that, we'll do it.
I think collateral from the departure of Mike Hopkins that I'm sad about is the loss of Will Conroy.
Vibes guy. Ultimate vibes guy.
When I first stepped onto the University of Washington campus and entered the Heck Ed Arena, I saw this assistant coach, and I said, who is this assistant coach hyping up the crowd while UW tries not to choke away a 6-point lead to a low major school? And that man was Will Conroy, and he is no longer with us, unfortunately.
Well, so he's not dead. He's just not part of the program anymore.
He is alive. He's alive, as far as I know. But who's going to get the crowd hyped? That's my question. I think that's something Sprinkle needs to address early next year.
Yeah, who will the vibes guy be? Did you catch a pass from Will Conroy in the stands when he threw a ball to you? He threw a ball to the stands. I almost caught one. I touched it.
You touched it? You touched a Will Conroy basketball?
I sure did.
Many people don't get that honor.
They don't. All right, moving on. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Troy Dannon came and went. 6 months, a short relationship. Didn't sting nearly as much as Kalen DeBoer, but I wouldn't necessarily say it stung because he wasn't here for that long. He got a lot done, I can tell you that.
He did.
But it was just weird because Northwest guy, or Midwest guy, I should say, goes to Nebraska. And you got to wonder, what was the bag that they dropped for him to be like, all right, guess we're going to Nebraska.
I don't know if he got paid. I mean, he got paid a lot of money. Not as much as we make here doing the podcast, but a significant amount of money. I think the main thing, like you said, is he is a Midwest guy, and that's home for him, which, I mean, I guess I can understand. You hate to see him leave. It seemed like he was a guy who wanted to get things done. He hired Fish super quickly. That's Jed Fish. Sure, super quickly. After DeBoer left, and he got sprinkled in the door. But I think Pat Chun from Wazoo is going to do a good job, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
We'll see.
1 year.
That's the bar to clear. Just stay for 1 year.
Yeah, 6 months seems like not enough.
Yeah, I'd say. That's the safest assessment,
In the span of a couple of weeks, it feels like we're losing a lot. We lost 2 notable bald guys off the University of Washington.
We did.
And that's going to be tough to swallow.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about college basketball, obviously UW is not in it, but we'll do our due diligence, I'll say, on the Final Four that's happening this weekend, Saturday and Monday, I believe. The first thing I wrote down in my notes is DJ Burns, Zach Edey is going to be electric. Zach Edey, I know a lot of people online are saying he's only good at basketball because he's tall. I'm going to agree with that statement. He is only good at basketball because he is tall. He looks super funny when he runs, and he complains a lot for being able to dunk without jumping. DJ Burns is America's sweetheart right now. I think we'd all like to see NC State be the Cinderella and win.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It will feed families, but it will only feed families if DJ Burns is on the court.
That is true. DJ Burns, not really known for his defensive prowess, and fouls a lot.
He does.
Zach Edey,
and that's a problem. Yeah.
Is what the kids are saying, a foul merchant. And so if Burns can stay on the court, and they win that game, watch out, Arizona. It's in Glendale?
Phoenix?
Scottsdale?
Tucson? Tempe?
One of them.
Yep.
It's down there. I just don't.
It is down.
Yeah, and then if you look across the bracket, you got UConn, Bama, which is kind of boring because in theory, UConn should just wipe the floor with a team that strictly shoots threes and runs up and down the court. And if the threes don't fall, I think it's game over for Bama.
Yeah. Yeah, they have nothing that really, you know, strikes me as like, okay, if they can do this and this, they have a chance to beat UConn. It's literally if they can just chuck up a bunch of threes and hopefully a lot of them go in. Yeah, UConn, I think, out of the four teams, is the clear favorite just because they've just dominated literally everybody they've played. And I think that as much as people will probably admit that it'll be boring, I think Purdue and UConn is the final that not necessarily America wants, but I think America needs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to watch any more Zach Edey. I really don't.
Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon.
I'm sick of Zach
Edey. Kling Kong.
I'm sick of Zach Edey.
You're sick of him?
I don't want to watch him anymore. It's just, it's frustrating.
But what if, would you watch Zach Edey if you knew he would lose in the championship to UConn?
Will he cry if he loses?
Yes.
Okay, then yes.
So we you heard it here first. Settled. Frank will watch Zach Edey in the championship if they lose and he cries.
And he cries. I am cheering for him to cry. Is UConn a blue blood?
I would say so, yeah.
If they win, they kind of have to be.
Yeah.
Again, I know Hurley's been talking to the press, as coaches do, and saying that they're not getting enough respect for the run they're going on. I kind of think he's right. I think if instead of UConn, it was Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, that America would be going crazy. UConn is going on this historically dominant run this past season and this season. And it seems like people kind of know, but aren't giving them the credit they deserve.
Yeah, and the last teams to go back-to-back were 06 and 07 Florida, which bring back four starters.
Cheating.
Some would say, yeah, cheating, not fair.
Yep.
But they were the last team to do it. And I feel like that's not being talked about enough. Because in college football, we see teams go back-to-back all the time. Alabama, most notably. But in college basketball, it's so difficult, especially now, to keep the continuity of a team together and to kind of keep the culture around for more than a couple of years. And I think UConn is definitely doing that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Hopefully DJ Burns and SC State can pull it out against Purdue, but we shall see. Speaking of this weekend and important things, UW baseball.
Yeah.
The boys have gotten off to kind of a rocky start this season, 9-12-1. Not really the start that anybody expected after a surprisingly good season last year under head coach Jason Kelly, JK. And I think it's because a combination of a couple things. I think the first thing is, and I think the most notable thing, the bats really aren't consistent this year.
They've been, that's the perfect word, inconsistent. Guys, what are we doing? From the games I've watched, you can tell that a lot of guys don't go up there with a super sound approach. The top of the order looks good. I think it's missing power. We don't have a bat that...
A Will Simpson.
Exactly. The top of the order last year was absolutely disgusting. You have three MLB guys in there. And this year, Clayton, obviously, monster. He should be a draft pick. Same thing with Guerrero, but...
They just haven't shown up.
I love Jeter Ibarra, okay? I love Jeter Ibarra, but is he a guy who's going to put the ball over the fence, you know?
Yeah, consistently. I think the only guy you can really say that about right now is Arquette.
Yeah, and Kelly's having him lead off, which cool, I guess. I mean, who else are you gonna have do it? But if we just gotta score runs, I think is the main thing. And the pitching has been better than last year, at least a little bit. The bullpen's been crazy good. It's tough. I felt like last year we could only win games by trying to outscore anyone we played, and it worked some of the time. This year it feels like if we get down 3 or 4 runs, it's gonna be tough to come back.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the offense just isn't as explosive. And even on Tuesday against Seattle U, 3-0 against a mid-major school, that won't really do it against Pac-12 competition. And taking a look at the standings right now, UW is unfortunately in last place in the Pac-12 standings.
Hooray.
Oregon, more unfortunately, is in first.
Yep.
And if you look at the slate coming up, USC this weekend, 6-5 in Pac-12, 12-16 overall. And you have to ask yourself, is this a winnable series? Can you take 2 out of 3 here? And if you do, does that kind of put the season back on track?
Yeah, baseball, unlike other sports, guys can just get hot. Like, if the bats can get hot and we can rip off a couple of wins, season's back on. But the opposite can be true. And if we go down to Southern California and just get swept or lose 2 of 3, it's going to be a tough look. USC has been all right. this season. Most Pac-12 schools are pretty damn good at baseball. They do have one MLB, potential MLB player, been struggling this year. Austin Overn, outfielder. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully they're good. Keep us invested. Something to look forward to. For those listening, if UW baseball is not that good, it's going to be a lot of brawny speculation until football starts. So you guys should be hoping that they do well.
Yeah, hopefully this podcast is not just transfer portal news for the foreseeable future and like spring football. Hopefully baseball can get us back and that we can be excited before the Pac-12 tournament starts.
But Danny, did you see how cool Jonah Coleman looked in running back drills today?
I did not. Did he look cool?
He looked so cool.
Nice. From the UW sports standpoint, I think we've covered it all. The transfer portal. I think we didn't give Corin Johnson his due diligence. Corin, we miss you so much. Our dear, dear Corin. I would say our second best player down the stretch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He was one of the only players on the team other than Keon, your friend.
My friend Keon.
Yes. That could put the ball on the floor and create his own shot. And that is something that is so rare at the college level that allowing a player like that just to walk would be devastating. So I think having him back would be so beneficial in an offense under Sprinkle that I feel like would give him more freedom. And now, especially that he'd be a year older, I think he'd get the reins. But yeah, Corin, if you are listening, please, please come back.
What was cool to see was his you could see the confidence as the season went on.
The shots he was taking. You'd be like,
hoo-hoo. You'd be like, Corin, yeah, relax, buddy. No one on this team is supposed to make shots.
Yeah.
Didn't you know that? And he is a Seattle guy, so yeah, it would be tough to see him leave. Please come back. This could easily be a Corin Johnson propaganda podcast. Someone just say the word. Yeah. We'll get him back.
Now, Frank, let me paint you this picture.
Okay, go for it.
I painted a couple pictures for you already.
Okay, paint me another one.
All right. Zoom Diallo at the one. Corin at the two.
Yep.
We get Ian Martinez from the portal, three.
Perfect.
We have
great.
Big Great at the four.
Whoa.
Perhaps.
Everyone calm down. Everyone calm down.
He can put the ball on the floor.
Yep.
Shifty for a big guy. Big guy. And then five, Big Frank. What are we thinking?
That's a lineup I like.
I like it as well.
Do you think Keon Brooks has another COVID year left?
I wish, but I don't think so. I think he's taking his talents to NBA Summer League.
He's going to ball out in Summer League.
I hope so.
No, that would be great. Zoom Diallo. Wesley Yates, too.
Yeah, I completely forgot. Hopefully he stays. Please, Wesley, stay.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see anything from him last year. Uh-huh. Everything was kind of kept under wraps. We thought he would be back at some point, and everyone's like, gah. Nope.
Yeah.
And then he was just out the whole year.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with the UW training staff or coaching staff not giving us any updates about injuries, because Frank was supposed to come back and then he didn't.
Yeah, two straight seasons without playing a conference game.
So that sucks, because he's a guy who does bring energy and does hold guys accountable, especially on the defensive end. And UW could have used him last year because we saw way too much Wilhelm. Sorry, Wilhelm. There's been a lot of hate in episode one, and it might may or may not keep coming. Anyway. All right, you want to end on a little game? We don't have any many segments on this show. Not yet, at least. You know, episode one, episode zero.
If you have any ideas, please send them in. We'd be happy to try any segments or little games that you have in mind for us. But for now, I think the first game or segment we will play at the end of the show, when we have time, is called Jalen Green or Not. And Frank, I'll give you the lead on this one if you want to explain.
Yeah, so this is primarily going to be a UW sports podcast, right? That's what we're interested, passionate about. That's what we care about. Danny and I also frequent almost every other sport, and one of those is the NBA. I have this running theory that every player in the NBA is either Jalen Green, guard for the Houston Rockets, former
G League Ignite
player, or yeah, they're either Jalen Green or not Jalen Green. So Danny, we're gonna go back and forth, just a couple, just to end the show, you know, a good first show. And we're gonna play, is he Jalen Green or not Jalen Green? Now, those of you listening may be confused. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. How can more than one person be Jalen Green? That's for you to decide. We're going to play the game. We're going to debate a little bit. And then, you know, you guys play along at home. And maybe each week we'll come up with some different names. So, Danny, I'm going to give you one name. You're going to tell me if he's Jalen Green or not Jalen Green. Ready?
Okay.
Gary Harris.
That's an interesting one. I think he's a little before the time of Jalen Green's. Mm-hmm. He might have been the Jalen Green prototype. I think he plays a little too much defense to be considered a Jalen Green. So for Gary Harris, I'd say no. I'd have to agree.
Not Jalen Green. Officially not Jalen Green.
All right, Frank, I have a name for you.
Go for it.
It's Jalen Green from tonight. He shot 4 of 12 and 3 of 8 from 3. Is Jalen Green Jalen Green?
Jalen Green is absolutely Jalen Green.
All right.
Jalen Green, the epitome of Jalen Green. Gang, I'll throw one more at you just to end the show. Jaden Ivey. Jalen Green, not Jalen Green.
Now, this is a tricky one. Jaden Ivey, high motor guy, likes to get up and down the court. Doesn't really shoot a lot of threes. Isn't that flashy, but this isn't is he flashy or not? This isn't, does he have a high motor or not? This is he Jalen Green or not? And I think for Jaden Ivey, I would have to say he is Jalen. He's a young guard who kind of came in around like post-COVID year and then is just putting up okay numbers on a bad team. So I think with those qualifications, I think that would make him Jalen Green.
Not to stray from the point, we do have a little bit more time. Malachi Flynn dropped 50 last night.
He sure did.
Do you think I could drop 50 in an NBA game?
Now, Frank, percentage-wise, how many people in the NBA do you think could drop 50 points in a game? Now knowing that evil Dante DiVincenzo dropped 50 points in a game.
90%.
Okay, I would have to agree with you. There's the days of just having a big dude at the end of your bench who doesn't really do a whole lot are over. All the guys on an NBA roster have the capability to score a lot of points.
Points. 50 points. Used to mean something. I'd be willing to bet $1 to anyone listening. I'd be willing to bet $1 that Keon Brooks one day drops 50 in the NBA and we're all going to look at each other and be like, I knew it. Because everyone drops 50. Jack Golke, if you want to, you know, perform awesome in summer league or something and make a roster and drop 50, that'd be cool.
So if 50 doesn't mean anything, what's the new 50 in the NBA? 60? Perhaps 70?
But then wouldn't that just be 60? Isn't everybody averaging like 30 points in the NBA too? 30 points used to mean something, and now it's just like, ah, you know?
Yeah.
One who could average 30 points next year probably?
Jalen Green.
Jalen Green could.
Jalen Green or not?
Is everybody Jalen Green? I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight thinking about that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people listening are. I think we kind of put them on. I think when all four people who listen to this look at NBA
maybe box five.
Scores for now. Maybe five, if we're lucky.
Or six.
If all six people listening to this look at NBA box scores from now on and go, is that Jalen Green or not? I think we've done our job. Mm-hmm. I really do. Just making people aware.
Yeah, the Jalen Green conundrum. No, that's all I got for you today, Dane. Wrap us up. All
right, that is it for the first episode, the inaugural episode of The Cylinder Rule. Thank you all for listening. Like I said, we will hopefully get one episode a week out to you guys, mainly UW sports related, but as you saw at the end, maybe have a little bit of fun outside of the UW sports realm. Maybe some more segments. Hopefully you guys like Jalen Green or not. I think that's one that can definitely continue. Maybe not into playoff time, but I think for the last couple of weeks during the regular season, I think that'll be prevalent. Especially with the bad teams playing a bunch of random players. I think that could be fun. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us. And we will see you guys hopefully next week.